Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Everybody,
We're on. Okay. Hi, everybody. It's Chuck and Julie. Chuck and Julie Show. Truth straight up on this momentous day.
Party Friday
as Kabul appears about to fall. All that brought to you by
AmericanCitizenPress.com, a great website for conservative voices. And Dr. Julie McCallum with Denver Cynogenics. Chuck just had his appointment with her. Things are going great. And, you know, she's just a family doc that we trust, encourage anyone. If there's any questions, just give them a call. Just go to DenverCynogenics.com, and it's Dr. Julie McCallum. Hey, and tell them Chuck and Julie sent you too. Lot to talk about today on this Party Friday. Michael Tao.
Party in Cabal.
Is it Cabal or Cabal? Well, we could call him the Cabal.
We'll call it whatever you want.
The Cabal and Kabul. Michael Tao joining us at the bottom of the hour to talk about his latest investigative report into the vaccine tests that weren't, basically, a group of fourth graders could have designed and carried out.
Probably did.
But yeah, on this Friday the 13th, Joe Biden, you'll be glad to know, is vacationing. There was a nice shot of him.
Boy, thank God he's had a chance to just rest up a little bit. And when you're working that hard, president's a very demanding
job.
Well,
it's hard to destroy everything in such a short period of time. I mean, we've got the worst economy that we've had ever. We've got the highest consumer prices going up than ever.
He's had to call because
he canceled all of our own oil production. He's had to call OPEC and Saudi Arabia. And now he's negotiating with the Taliban. Oh, yeah. That's going to be fun. They cut off your head and they send to the next guy.
What is it Robert Gates said that, about Biden in his book? That Biden has been almost universally wrong on every national national security for 40 years. He's keeping a streak going.
It's, you know, every day is Friday the 13th when you're in the Biden administration. New polls showing too, this was one out of Yahoo News, and as you said, polls keep always in mind, but I like to quote them when they repeat what I think, when they justify my thoughts. Biden disapproval rating going up again. Well, he's more people disapprove of him, fewer people approve. He's under 50% at 48% on them. According to a poll that acknowledges it's not likely voters, it's got a plus 11
skewed
for Democrats. So among a Democrat skewing poll, they don't like it. I mean, now so
down
you,
down to 48.
You've got the border, even the Department of Homeland chief now in leaked audio is saying the border's out of control and we can't fix it. And then somebody said, well, here's an idea. What if we made illegal entry illegal?
Yeah,
and they're like, no, we can't do that. There's got to be some other answer. I don't know what they're. Well, I know what they're thinking. They think they want to flood the country and have all these future Democrats there, but it's not working. Basically, even in the census reports, massive influx of Latinos who don't actually prefer to be called Hispanics, right, according to the polls, not Latino, and none of them even knew what a Latino X meant or Latinx meant. But they're turning increasingly to the Republican Party.
Everything's going wonderful.
Yeah, it's going. But let's talk about Taliban. Usually we have a segment of the show where it's called Chuck Was Right.
Right.
This is the brief segment where it's like Julie was right.
Well, the Chuck Is Right is usually when you contradict me, but I did not contradict
you. That you were not wrong. They put it that way. Yeah. But I had been, you know, doing the research for the show, looking up all the stuff on Afghanistan, and it was reading where Biden, even skeptical people in the Biden administration were like, well, yeah, well, maybe, you know, in 90 days, Kabul might actually fall. I said, 90 days? I said, we're talking at Monday. I said, you know, Biden is trying to get 3,000 troops. So, well, they've got to get there.
Before they can get out of there.
I mean, the Taliban is 30 miles outside of Kabul. They now control essentially the rest of the country, two-thirds. I mean, the only part of the country, I mean, there may be some rocks someplace that you know, are uncontested or something like that. But they basically control the country. They're 30 miles from Kabul. That's like from our house, downtown Denver, right? Or even further. It's like, you know, so you could see the Taliban if you put on your binoculars and kind of wandering around with their guns. You see them wandering around the streets with their guns. There's no fighting. I mean, they have reports of fighting, but the Afghan military doesn't seem to have done anything. If I'm the president of Afghanistan right now, you know, I've seen the movie Argo, you know what I mean?
Well, and you ought to see the movie about the last president of Afghanistan who was supportive of the Soviet Union. And he was dragged out, tortured and finally killed and dragged to the streets of Kabul and hung up on a lamppost, which wasn't a great way to go. I mean, there are better ways. And so if I was the president, I'd kind of go,
if I can figure out, I'm the Taliban guys and I'm sitting, I'm like, okay, here we are 30 miles outside of Kabul. Number one, what I do is I start a blockade so nothing can get in and out, which apparently they've done. Then I'm like, let's just go take over the airport so no one can get in and out that way. And those pesky US troops can't get here either. They're going to have to like drive. And so I'm sure they're thinking of that. So if I'm the president, I'm trying to get the heck out of Dodge while the getting is still even possible. I bet you, I mean, so now, according to CNN, take it for what that's worth, but they have an intelligence source that says they predict Kabul will fall in 72 hours.
Mario Cuomo, or I mean,
yeah, Andrew, Mario, Andrew Cuomo. Cuomo, Chris Cuomo told them that, no. But I think it is, you know, I mean, we can talk about it a lot, but I think what is to me and particularly important is it is yet another failure on the part of the Biden administration. The economy is bad.
The border is bad. The public safety is bad. The trust and everything is gone. And Joe is just lost.
On vacation.
He's on vacation.
Well, that's if he can get into the White House, right?
If he can figure out his way out. I mean, it's turning out more comical all the time. It's just an extraordinary.
Well, I know. I mean, in a way, I'd feel bad for all of us. This is what Sandra's saying. It's disgusting. Another Obama Benghazi. You know, I mean, they're comparing it to Saigon. And Jen Psaki is like, it's not Saigon. You know, we're talking to the negotiators and asking the Taliban negotiators to not kill and execute all of the American people who are still in the embassy. You know, here's another note to self. Again, go watch Argo, that movie with Ben Affleck. Note to self, if you're in the American embassy in Kabul, you should just go now.
Just go.
Do what they did. Forget getting rid of all the sensitive documents.
It's an illiterate group anyway. So.
Well, I mean, what kind of policies do we have in Afghanistan that have, maybe it'll teach them how not to do it. This is an exercise. But I mean, let's just take a look at what's happened there. So, because I'll concede this, and you and I have talked about this a little bit, withdrawing, this is why we shouldn't get into these kind of wars in the first place, because there is no, it's not like chess or checkers where you have a checkmate, you know, your king me, and then you win. It's a mess, and it's always going to be a mess. And unless you want to stay there forever, as soon as you leave, the people that you've been holding back, you know, wash in or sweep in to fill the void, right? So I don't know that there was ever going to be a smooth, exciting movie ending to leaving.
Well, there's going to be an exciting movie.
Well,
ending.
Yeah, a different kind of movie.
I mean, I was thinking I was in Havana in 58, just before the Castro takeover in 59. And it had a feel of that everything was going to fall apart. And that got through to somebody who's only 8 years old. So,
So one of the things I was looking at and doing the research is like, okay, well, what is it? Can we blame Biden for this? No, and I'm happy to tell you that not just we can, and we can with good reason, actually, that the way he has done this, it really couldn't have been much worse. That, I mean, you can't just pack up and leave. We've all seen the videotape, the pictures of all the, you know, when Americans left with the Bagram
Air Force Base,
all the stuff left behind. We've seen the military equipment. We've seen the guns. And then, you know, the Afghan soldiers are apparently not fighting very much at all.
Well, apparently, I mean, you know, Biden said, well, we're leaving a 350,000 person army with their own air force and all the equipment they could possibly need. And the Taliban's only 75,000. Moreover, Taliban tanks are really basically a guy on a motorcycle, an AK-47. I mean, that's what they are. They're moving forward on on motorcycles with AK-47.
Now they're moving forward, though, and all the equipment that we and the Afghan army have left behind. So now every city, every provincial capital they take, which is they took another four today, they have better equipment. But there was a general, a retired four-star general, Jack Keane, on Fox this morning, and he kind of outlined three basic things that the Biden administration did that turned this into an utter disaster. So if we could play the Taliban soundbite, please, Tom.
Our good friends, the Taliban.
The Taliban soundbite.
Sad, frustrating moment to watch an ill-conceived, and I emphasize ill-conceived, hasty withdrawal turn into what is now an embarrassing retreat. And why is that? Well, look it. The IG from the Pentagon just reported out that Taliban offensive began in May of this year, a month after President Biden made the announcement that we were pulling all U.S. troops out by 31 August. The Taliban knew full well that the United States, in that short a period of time, had to close seven military bases, that the focus of the U.S. leadership and its troops would be on just that. No time and no resources to help the Afghan security forces during a major Taliban offensive. And by that I mean sustained decisive air support, which they always had in the past to stop normal Taliban offenses that occur in that period of time. Warfare in Afghanistan is seasonal. It starts in the spring and it ends in the fall. And the Taliban pack up their bags and go to Pakistan during the winter. So why are we doing a withdrawal right in the middle of the fighting season, in the heart of it? The withdrawal should have been done during what? The winter. And we should have extended our withdrawal out until sometime next year to get all of that done and make certain that as the Taliban offensive came this year, we were able to provide the resources to counter that offensive.
So what he says is the key things that they did wrong, number one, is tell the Taliban, okay, we're going to be out completely by the end of August. And the Taliban's like, okay, good. Let's launch our offensive now then. You might as well get rolling, right? In the meantime, while we're doing that, we're going to not leave anything in place to provide security and cover for the Afghan army, who we now hope is going to try to fight back, because we know the Taliban's going to come in. We give them nothing. There's no air support. There's nothing. So you can really hardly blame the Afghan military for leaving.
Biden's woke Pentagon was,
they're busy with all the transgender stuff and vaccinated,
get surgery for people who want trans, so they can be
priorities.
They have priorities, so they can transform into female before they go into war. Just an amazing effort by the Biden administration of utter ineptitude. Jimmy Carter wasn't this bad. Honestly, no one is this bad. No president in the history of the United States has had 6 months of like this. This is just horrendous.
Well, and specific to Afghanistan, I'm no military general strategist, but even I know if you've been occupying a country for decades, let's say, and the only thing propping up the government really is you, and your enemy is this vicious terrorist jihadists who want to take over the world and kill all the rest of us, to just pack up your bags over the course of a month or two and totally leave, and then turn around and say, we've been surprised at the speed and how quickly they have taken over the country.
Well, Leo says this goes back to Bush, and it does go back to Bush. When he decided to invade the Secretary of Defense said, sure, but I don't want to do it with this heavy armor, I'll just send a few special forces, then we withdraw. We overthrow them and withdraw. Well, they conquered it with a few thousand troops, they accomplished everything, and then he wanted to get out, and Bush said, oh no, how about the girls? My girls, my sweeties, all the girls. And I promise you, all those wonderful girls are in for a wonderful time under the Taliban rule. They are unmercifully vicious people.
Well, and that's the thing. You can't really blame the Afghan military and the Afghan people for not stringently fighting back. From what you're reading, so the Taliban, these are jihadist terrorists, right? These are not I mean, like, you know, the opposite sides of war. It's not like everybody's ever, you know, friends, but these people are particularly vicious and brutal. That's what they do. And they're talking about as they go through into these towns and they're capturing the towns, they're taking the girls and selling the, and I'm saying girls, not just women, but the girls, and they're turning them into sex slaves at the camps for their men. They're saying they have to marry the Taliban soldiers.
Well, it's only a short interruption of their literacy training.
Right. I don't mean to laugh. Yeah, it's like, you know, you've got this stupid Biden people tweeting and then deleting the tweet. Oh my God, all these girls, I train them with literacy. It's like, they're no sex slaves in a Taliban camp. What part of this world do you not get, right? That, you know, while you're being so woke and all this, it's like these poor girls, look what's happened to them.
There is a report, though, from the CIA on a very important New Year's Eve. The same report that reported that Andrew Cuomo touched someone's behind doing a selfie, that the same thing happened in Kabul, Kabul following, throwing her into a sex camp slave.
Right.
I mean,
times up people behind.
Yeah, where are they?
Well, and that's why ridiculously Biden says, so when he's done talking to Saudi Arabia, begging them for more oil, can't, of course, produce our own anymore. He's turning around and then he's calling the folks, the Taliban. I mean, what, do they have cell phones? Does he say, hello, Taliban guy? I mean,
No, they have people living in Dubai. Their representatives and their representatives are smart enough to say all the nice things.
Well, they're negotiators.
We'll continue.
That's what Biden is. Yeah. He's asking the Taliban negotiators not to like execute and massacre all the Americans left there.
He's asking the Afghan army to kill the Taliban while asking the Taliban not to kill the Americans.
Yeah.
And it just, even for that more medieval mindset to go, well, that doesn't seem like a good idea.
Like you said, it seems like, you know, they've been watching too much Game of Thrones or something. But what a complete...
Well, no, they haven't watched enough Game of Thrones.
Well, the Taliban is watching the Game of Thrones. Again, it's a kind of thing that even I could have predicted. If you would have said, you know, back in April, Julie, you know what? What do you think? We have this plan. We're going to pull out of, you know, Afghanistan completely. Not going to leave anybody there. And we're just going to ask the Taliban to be nice. And we're going to leave everybody at the embassy still. How's that? And I would be like, are you nuts? Alan, we're going to leave all of our weapons there for them too. It's like, I mean, it couldn't go worse. And for the Biden administration to say we're surprised at how quickly this deteriorated, it's like,
Joe just barely got time to get in this basement vacation for Delaware. I mean, this is very tough for him.
Well, yeah.
Very tough. And his brilliant staff and chief of staff and God knows Hillary, I'm sure, is weighing in with all her brilliant advice.
And even MSNBC is criticizing him. That's where the weird wokeness. They're all behind, you know, the free the women in Afghanistan, which is great. I'm all for free the women.
But I don't get it, because you say to a nation that we the U.S. Are going to take care of the women, not you. Your society doesn't matter. It's backward. It's medieval. We don't like it. So we'll put the women in charge, and now, but you can go out and fight the Taliban. And I can see some of the guys in the Afghan army going, you know, I don't think I like being on this side.
Right. Well, and here's from Leo. None of these people played Risk as a kid. Exactly, Leo. I mean, you could just put, okay, here's the Taliban things, and here's this. What happens? You know what happens in Risk when you just leave like one little teeny guy behind the country. Everyone takes them over.
Well, in Risk, it's just everything just folds on you. You know, you start falling behind, and then you just get slaughtered at the end.
But this is happening faster than a game of Risk. And Charlene is like, Trump would have withdrawn responsibly. Sandra, I'm waiting for them to blame Trump for this. This is going to totally freak out MSNBC. The Taliban apparently reportedly is refusing to let people get vaccinated.
Oh, no.
Those women.
They better get some vaccines.
The women that they're throwing into the camps as sex slaves, they're not letting them get vaccinated. Can you believe
Nordstrom. We're not going to admit them to Nordstrom or any of the nice places along Rodeo Drive
in
California.
That's right. Those Taliban guys are not going to get a table at a New York City restaurant. Mm. Oh, boy. Yeah, of course, they'll go in there and they'll behead everyone in there. From the beginning, you know, you go back to, I remember years ago when we were still at KNUS, we were working on a Saturday, and we saw, once again, the terrorists taking over a U.S., was it an embassy or something, where this is the guys that Obama called the JV squad. right? He said, these are the JV squad.
Al-Qaeda.
And then Al-Qaeda had taken over, and they had taken down the American flag and were raising up their flag. And they're not the JV squad. We show, and the Democrats, I think in a way, don't care. It's just lip service to these girls. I mean, they have these interpreters, people who have worked for the American military, basically over there, they're Afghan citizens for years and years. We just love them. They're getting beheaded and they're getting hung.
Well, our thing is to make sure that our thing is that we leave no pro-American behind, and then just flood them into New York City and leave them there with no way of actually supporting themselves. But as long as it's an open border deal, then we're very good at that. I mean, we'll bring them down to Laredo, Texas or something. And it's just the Democrats can screw anything.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're destroying everything they touch. And Charlene, I agree with you. I think, you know, I think it would have been a mess. Like I said, I think this is why I think we shouldn't always get into these kind of situations, because how do you
miss getting it in? And we had a brilliant plan getting it. I mean, they bombed the World Trade Center, and so you have to reply to that. So we sent a small force in that combined with the Northern Army and actually routed the Taliban. But then those in the Bush administration wanted to get it. I go, no.
Military industrial complex.
Yeah,
Liz Cheney's very upset by all of this.
Oh,
I
you're very upset.
I wonder if she's still going to vote for Biden. Yeah,
they're her girls.
Well, it's her military.
It's her military.
She doesn't care about the girls. It's a military.
And so instead of getting out, you know, they just use it as a staging ground to be able to invade Iraq, which also went very well.
Well, and you look at, I think one of the other things that would have been helpful with Trump is, I think, number one, you're right, Charlene, I think he would have had a better plan, even with the military generals all opposed to him. Hopefully he wouldn't have listened to them because they're a bunch of idiots, clearly. I also think that Trump had a much stronger presence on the world stage. I mean, if we can look at Joe Biden wandering around the garden looking for the entrance, if we can hear Joe Biden wiping something off his chin and eating it, I mean, the rest of the world sees that too. I know sometimes the Australian news people really, one of the channels really attacks Biden. And so, I mean, so I don't imagine that if you're the Taliban, you're all that worried about Joe Biden, even bigger yet. So Joe Biden is like, well, we won't give you any aid. Well, guess who's told the Taliban they'll give him aid? China. So the Taliban is like, you know, I mean, and China is.
And Chinese will have no problem of the Afghans selling all the poppy they want to Western Europe and United States. You go, oh yeah, long sale there. Don't try to sell it here in China. No problem.
Well, oh yeah. I mean, it is just a mess. And like you said, it's hard to imagine how that things could have got, I guess you can always imagine things could get worse. But I mean, again, look at the economy, the worse, and the inflation rising fast and has risen like in a long time, right? I mean, we were doing, and the only reason is you can all trace it back to Biden policies, because we were in a recovery, right, under Trump. And all of a sudden, because of Biden policies, we're not. Gasoline prices, which affects everything across the board, right, have skyrocketed. And again, it's ridiculous.
But I love it says, you know, President Biden has made it clear that Americans must have access to readily available and affordable energy. You kind of go, then why'd you stop the Keystone pipeline? Why'd you dry up all the leases? Why'd you affordable
no
energy
island, yes,
and we bankrupt ourselves to get it from Saudi Arabia? I mean, it is just mind-boggling.
And the same, when you look at public safety and the skyrocketing, and there's no sign of it's going to end, crime rate. When you tell all of the criminals under the equity theory that it's not their fault that they're criminals, and that even though they are criminals under equity theory, we now have to release them because, you know, because they're African-American, and that has to make, we have to make it up to them. I mean, how long do you think that, or if they're looting, and that's okay, you know, you and I can't loot because we're white, but if you're black, you can loot because that's just bringing things back up to equity, which is where the ridiculous things we're teaching our children. But you have that, of course, crime goes up. When you have the border and you just make illegal entry not
legal.
Illegal.
And you transport them.
And you transport them
across the country. And they don't understand, why is this not working? Huh?
Right. Well, and then you turn around and you tell all of us you can't go into a restaurant, you can't go to school, you have to do all of this stuff to get a vaccine. And what do they say? I mean, significant percentages of the people coming across the border that they test are testing positive for COVID. And I was reading a thing. Right. Well, yeah. And but the Biden administration has said, has prohibited them from doing any more tests, right? They don't want them testing anymore. They've also prohibited them from referring to the Mexican cartels as a Mexican cartel. I don't know. They didn't.
Your neighborhood shop.
I don't know what they said. So you look at that and, you know, no wonder his approval rating is going down. The scary thing is,
Who the 48% approve what he's doing? God, what kind of mentally ill individual is that? Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Well, you know what it is. Chris Cuomo,
yeah.
Right, although he's not having that great
Brian Stelter.
Right, we have Brian Stelter. He loves it. You know, their ratings are down low. So
they've obviously made Brian Stelter the sort of spokesperson. He goes on various shows and makes it just a sycophantic fool of himself.
And apparently he was on Stephen Colbert, and like they massively turned off. They sometimes in the TV ratings they have these like ongoing monitors so they can see. And so Brian Stelter came in and went like seriously like 500,000.
Degrade themselves as a toady for Jeff Zucker.
But here's the thing, again, you know, I predicted when they were saying it would be 90 days, you know, we have to try to hold on for 90 days, and my Cabo will be gone by Monday. And now even CNN is saying that they're saying that. And it's not going to be pretty, right? I mean, they cannot, there's no way they can get all of those people, all the people who need to get out of there. In the meantime, you have all of the refugees, and I'm sure the Taliban is happily letting them into the city. Yeah. And here's a question for you. How do you tell a refugee from a Taliban soldier?
Well, the one has a motorcycle and AK-47.
And AK-47, but you could put that under your robes. Well, who knows? And who's going to stop them? I mean, it's going to be ugly there. I mean, it is going to be like Argo in the movies you see, right? And I don't think that if you're the Canadian embassy, this is just my advice.
Get out of there.
Yeah, just leave. Do not wait around. Yeah.
Do not wait around.
Get an Uber or something there now.
Get an Uber, yeah. That's right, from Islamabad.
Yeah.
Call up an
don't
Uber
you think?
From
I mean, I think, and we're going to have Robert Spencer on Monday to talk about this, but I think it's going to be very bad, don't you?
Well, the good part about it is there aren't going to be any Western journalists brave enough to stay around to record it. So it'll be a slaughter fest, if it is one, that it won't be reported because no U.S. or Western Europe journalist can. I think I'll stay around to see how it goes.
But here's the thing. The Taliban are pretty good at documenting their own stuff, right? I mean,
Al-Qaeda was better at that. Al-Qaeda was the one who loved to have films.
Yeah, but these jihadi websites are very good and, you know, very sophisticated, some of their propaganda. Now, again, how reliable is it? I don't know.
No, well, not high, it's not generally given a high reliability.
On the other hand, though, there will be images coming out,
There will be images coming out.
Yeah. Real quick, before we get to Michael Tao, one other thing we wanted to talk about, and this is good for all of us, the more that YouTube censors things, as you know, we've been banned permanently from YouTube for putting out so much dangerous information. They didn't call it misinformation. They called it dangerous information.
Like Michael Tao
coming up in a few seconds. But Glenn Greenwald, who is a liberal guy, basically.
The one sane liberal human being.
That's right. He is, and he's done a lot of research, a lot of COVID reporting. And he finally just got off of YouTube. He opened up, he launched a Rumble channel. It's called System Update. And you got a quick soundbite with him explaining why he did this, which is exactly why we're on Rumble too. So if we could play the Glenn Greenwald soundbite, please, too, Thomas.
It offers an opportunity to liberate ourselves from the repression, the increasing repression of big tech monopolies. We've seen just in the last month alone, extraordinarily arbitrary and unjustified cases of censorship of people on both the right and the left, oftentimes to manipulate public debate, to suppress dissent, and oftentimes simply for no apparent reason at all. And so just as I believe in Substack as a place that gives journalists and writers the ability to engage in free speech and free discourse without having to appease the moving and indecipherable demands of big tech monopoly executives, so too do I believe in Rumble as one of the few places left on the internet that allows video creators, which is a very important part of journalism, to be able to be free as well.
He's on Rumble now.
And we're on Rumble.
Yeah, if you want, it's just Chuck and Julie, spelled out. Chuck and spelled out
and we're proud to be
Julie.
There. We're welcoming Glenn Greenwald to the community of video journalists.
Well, and that's that's what I think is good about that is the more people like him, like Dan Bongino, join these other groups and get off YouTube, the more people become aware of it.
Well,
and the
more Dan people Bongino start needs to get off Fox and
unfiltered. This from Charlene, Al-Qaeda and ISIS were very sophisticated. Yeah, for ragtag rebels for the JV team. Yes, they were, Charlene. Yes, they were. But anyway, I think that looking at how bad things are going for the Democrats, and I think, as we've said before, I think we're woke, you guys are woke, more and more, I don't even want to call them conservatives. I just want to call them populists, because I think some of them are unaffiliated voters. I think if you're a soccer mom, all of a sudden you're like, wait, what are they teaching my kids at school?
Right?
If you're a soccer mom, you're like, wait, what is going on at the gas pump and the grocery store, things like that. You notice what has happened. And the more they try to censor that, and the more they try to prevent you from talking about it, and the more outrageous they get. I mean, they're censoring now Senator Rand Paul, right? Saying he's misrepresenting the government viewpoint. And he's like, I am the government. He's like, what are you talking about?
Well, he's the wrong part of the government.
Like I've said, make no mistake, I do not believe that the big tech people work for the Democrats. I believe the Democrats work for big tech.
Like everybody works for George Soros.
Yeah, everybody works for George, and everybody works for George Soros. So that's, you know, what's going on. And the more you get to places like Rumble, and, you know, we keep hearing that President Trump is working on a platform. I suspect he is, because I suspect the Republicans are getting the fact that that they have to have a platform. And if they don't have a platform, they're going to be completely censored. So talk about being completely censored.
Except for here.
I think we have Michael Tao. Michael, are you there? No, I saw you in the waiting room.
Can you see me?
Not yet. Not yet.
We can hear you, though.
You can hear you. It's a little bit like Kabul.
Although, is your electricity out? Yeah.
I wonder why it says video's okay.
Video's okay? Well, we hear you.
We hear you.
All right, well, that's the important thing.
That's the important thing. So, but tell people, you know, what do you think, you know, like we were talking about Glenn Greenwald, he's on Substack, as are you now, although I recommend... Everybody go to aclearerpicture.net. Just go there directly for Michael Tao stuff.
Yeah, so you can get everything from there. I'm just going to see if I can get the video going while you're doing this. Go ahead.
Okay. So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is because there's been – well, let me back up. So we've had to – Rev goes back to school next week. And the school earlier said you didn't have to wear a mask. And now they said you do have to wear a mask.
And if you have a doctor's excuse. So we gave him a doctor's excuse,
and
they said that's not the doctor's excuse. We have to have one that's signed by Joe Biden.
Well, I mean the conditions. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, essentially, one of the reasons, and I'm not kidding you, this is what they said. One of the reasons that you don't have to wear a mask for is if you are on the floor unconscious and unable to remove the mask yourself.
Well, there's
then
an exception.
You don't have to wear
an exception. There you go. What a broad exception. What a reasonable policy.
They said severe asthma, severe autism, severe anything, not an excuse.
Not
good. They said asthma is not affected by wearing a mask.
No.
Putting a plastic bag over your head does not affect asthma. I mean, it's just ludicrous. But fortunately, Michael, we have all these vaccine tests that they've done, so we can all sleep soundly and feel safe.
No, they've been double-blind tested.
Except that I was saying earlier, a bunch of fourth graders could have designed the test and carried them out
better. Well, Joe Biden is a fourth grader, probably mentally.
Why don't you talk to folks about some of the research you've been doing and just the latest on this whole vaccine testing thing?
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. I mean, the more you look, the worse it gets. Like that's the one principle of COVID-19 is as bad as you think it is, as bad as the lies you think they are, they're much worse. So for one thing, and there was an article in February in the British Medical Journal, prestigious journal, they did an editorial pointing this out. Of course, the press didn't cover it. So the clinical trials were not designed to show that it protects from infection. This is the Moderna and the Pfizer mRNA vaccine. They weren't designed to show that the quote unquote vaccines, because if they don't protect against infection, by definition, they're not vaccines, right? So the quote unquote vaccines were not, the clinical trials were not designed to show that they protect against infection, were not designed to show that they protect against severe symptoms, were not designed to show that they protect against hospitalization were not designed to show that they protect against death. All they were designed to show is that they protect against mild symptoms. So they need to get a certain amount of primary targets in. And the primary target was mild symptoms. So as soon as they get enough of them, the way it's set up, the thing is over. But what was worse is I'm reading this article. And this is the thing too. I always find these articles from like February of 2020, from like last year, pointing this stuff out that the press is like not reported on in journals. So the worst thing though is I'm reading this article and then they explain why the clinical trials were only done to establish protection against mild infection. It's because severe infections are so rare that they couldn't possibly test for severe infections.
Right.
So, and then you got this quote from the Pfizer guy saying, well, they're so rare that we couldn't really test for them without waiting years and years and years. And in that time, people would be dying because
at least two or three of them.
The entire rationale for the emergency, and people don't even know, these are not FDA authorized. They were granted an emergency youth authorization.
Right. Well, two things.
The entire rationale for this.
You have a lens cover on your...
Oh, yeah, I do.
No, I know. It's like weird. I can see everything. I could try calling you back because everything's functioning.
Right. No, that's okay. Because I don't want to have us run out of time when we fiddle with that.
And the second thing is, over time, I have now come to view with enormous skepticism whenever they say a prestigious UK medical journal.
Like, oh, yeah, Lancet, like the one. Yeah,
Lancet, prestigious medical journal. And British, prestigious. I go, nah. Broad,
turns out it's broad. All right. Well, just to clarify for folks, so the number one thing, so the tests that were supposedly being done, number one, they couldn't test for severe health impact or whether they prevented severe health impact or death because they didn't have enough severe health impact or deaths to even qualify.
Yeah, there's no justification for, and even on the CDC's own data, this is not a deadly virus. So the whole thing is like, there's no reason for anyone to be taking a vaccine. Like, I mean, anyone, right? There's certainly no reason for young people to be taking a vaccine. And the thing is, so the other thing is that there's no control group. So they get 2 months of trials on the basis of 2 months. People need to think about this. So these vaccines, the Pfizer and Moderna, how they work is billions of these nanoparticles go into your system. These nanoparticles contain RNA so that the surrounding shell allows them to get into your cells. They contain RNA, messenger RNA, that goes into your cells and forces, the explanation say teaches your cells, right? Like forces, there's no teaching. Your cells aren't going, teacher, how am I doing? It forces your cells to grow a spike from the virus, right? So They didn't do any distribution studies on humans to tell how far this stuff spreads, but there's a study they did for the Japanese, Pfizer gave to the Japanese government on mice and rats. It's incredible. Every organ in their body, these lipid cells were accumulating, including the brain.
Right.
Ovaries was huge. Kidneys, I think, was huge. Bone marrow was huge, right? So no one has any idea how far this stuff is going to go into humans, but if the rat and mouse study is any indication, it's in your brain are growing these like spike
proteins. When
you have a double-blind study, that means some people do not get the medicine and they have a placebo and they get to die. And more people who have figured out that you don't want to go into a control group if you don't know whether you're the person.
Well, to explain what the doctors did. I mean,
what they did is after the 2 months, 2 months of trials, you cannot know this stuff is long-term safe. It's impossible, especially now they're saying you're going to get it every 6 months. So after 2 months of trials, they got the emergency use authorization. They unblinded everybody and they weren't they weren't really blind. So the person giving the shots knew. Like they knew whether they were giving a placebo or the real thing. So if they clued in accidentally or intentionally, just a few people, given the low numbers of they wound up with, of people sick, that would like totally throw up. But whatever. They unblinded. They told everybody who had the placebo that they had the placebo and they offered them the vaccine after 2 months. Then they did they followed up for 4 months, but now everybody has the vaccine. So, like, what's good is the data? You have nothing to compare it to. They could have maybe compared it to the regular population, but even that, people in the regular population are not the same as people who sign up for these trials. But they didn't even try to do that. There's nothing in here. So there's literally no safety data in there because there's no comparison control.
It's not a test.
And they say, like, oh, ethically, we couldn't, like, not offer them the vaccine because they might die of the virus that nobody dies of. And they
no, nobody dies of it.
Because nobody died from it.
The people science tells us the vaccine tests were good. I mean, yeah, let me, another thing too, I don't know if people saw, I was reading this about, I don't know if you guys saw the headlines lately, that the COVID vaccine is safe for pregnant women. That's what the headlines are. So I did a little bit of digging in that. I don't know if you've looked into this, Michael, but so it turns out that they're basing that on the fact of they had like not a very large sample at all of women. Almost 72% of them were white and almost all of them were healthcare workers. And it was all self-reporting, said that they didn't have any adverse effects if they were pregnant, they got the vaccine. Now, on the one hand, though, they didn't count any adverse effect being, say, a miscarriage before 6 weeks, right, when the baby is most vulnerable. I mean, they had a very limited time period that they looked at. They had very few things that they considered. I think they just considered essentially losing the baby would be the only adverse effect. They didn't.
Which they don't consider an adverse effect. They consider a beneficial side effect.
When do you conclude that they're trying to do depopulation? Like, when they're saying, like, pregnant women need to take this, and they, if they're young and healthy, there's no, so 80% of the hospitalizations for this bullshit disease, and I'm sorry, it's a bullshit disease, were people who are fat, overweight, or obese, right? The average death age is like 80 years old. The mean death age is 80 years old. Sweden did nothing, except Sweden did one thing, no lockdowns, no masks. They locked down their nursing homes. The only excess death they suffered in 2020 was nursing homes, right? So at what point do you, and now they're saying pregnant women need to take this stuff. It's never been used in human beings before. It literally inserts RNA into your cells so they become virus hybrids. So they grow some, and the other thing, I didn't even put this in the article. So there's one sort of letter in the on the RNA alphabet. It almost never occurs. Your body almost never deals with it. They replaced the common one with that all over the place in these mRNA things, claiming because to make it work. But even if that's true, then how do you know that subjecting people's cells to these foreign strings of RNA that they've never dealt with before ever in the history of the world, literally, right? How do you know it's not going to have consequences? How do you know that growing spikes in the cells in your brain isn't going to have consequences? Like, the whole thing is so obviously unsafe that if you don't, or at least let me put it like, so obviously you couldn't possibly know it's safe. Let me say that.
There are just so many questions. And
what
again,
are they doing?
And like, then they cite these studies again when you're
in prestigious medical journals.
And then you look at, like, it says it's safe for pregnant women. And then you look and you see that's not a study. That's not an
evidence. That's what the woman down at the CDC said.
And why are they trying? See, this is the thing I don't get. At a certain level, you go, okay, the CDC is in bed with the pharmaceutical companies. It's just greed. But this is beyond greed. There's this desperation to get everybody to take it that I don't feel personally this desperately. So to me, it's like, okay, here's at least a minimally this has to be true. They know there's a risk a lot of people are going to drop dead because there's no way you could prove this stuff is safe in 2 or 6 months, right? So if everybody takes it, it's harder to prove if the people too drop dead that the people drop dead because of
that's
the vaccine.
Why they need all
that's
of us.
The minimum. The maximum is that
they
want everybody to drop dead.
That's why they need all of us to take it so that they can't tell. This is a question from Charlene. Since monoclonal antibodies are offered as treatment, does that stop the emergency use authorization of the vaccine?
If it's authorized, there shouldn't be an emergency use authorization. But this is the thing, you get wrapped up in this, and there's no deadly virus. Screw
right.
the mono. So if people were dying of some respiratory thing and HCQ helped them, that's fine. But there is no deadly virus on the loose. There never was any deadly virus. And that's what you got to do. See, the thing is, you don't believe what they're saying, but you wind up accepting the premises just to argue with them, right?
Right.
You wind
right.
up accepting, well, like, oh, well, Fauci released a deadly virus. I'm sorry. I think Fauci deserves a death penalty. for lockdowns for all his lives, but there is no deadly virus, so he couldn't have released a deadly virus. We know for if you believe in the virus and you believe that the tests are minimally not fraudulent, that they really do detect RNA unique to it, we know for a fact it was spreading in 2019. Nobody noticed. Ergo, there's no deadly virus. QED, nothing more needs to be said. It was spreading in 2019. There are no excess deaths. The excess deaths started 2 to 3 weeks after lockdown. That's when they started. The virus was spreading 3 months before then. And again, this is QED. This is just, you're done. There's no deadly virus.
Like I said, as a parent, you know, I mean, you now you're kind of screwed, right? Because you've got, again, all of these unelected bureaucrats putting pressure. I mean, I can kind of understand if you're a school board and you've got, you know, a certain segment of the parents are freaking out about the virus. I mean, we've got, and then you've got stupid doctors going to school board meetings saying all the kids have to wear masks. I understand they're put in a rough position, but I think it takes all of us standing up and just saying, no, I'm not
going
to get your
vaccine. The problem we have, though, is the peeps, everyone's going gaga over DeSantis now. No elected official is saying there's no deadly virus, right?
Right.
And that's the fundamental thing. As long as you admit that there's this patent lie that there's a deadly virus, nothing matters. Because if you win a battle today, they're going to win it tomorrow. They're going to eventually get what they want.
Exactly.
Into the narrative that there's any kind of a deadly virus. There is no deadly virus on the loose that wasn't on the loose since like,
which is, you know, my position to the school.
There's no hacking of the DNC computer. You're proof right
Yeah. It's not like, oh, the Russians did it for Clinton. No, it just didn't happen. It never
happened. Well, that's what, you know, I said in the letter. It's like, so I have a doctor telling me that we know that wearing a mask all day is bad for our son. And you're telling me that we have to because of this non-existent risk from a non-deadly virus based on all kinds of non-test tests, you know, that we have to do. I mean, it's just, it's
and outrageous. When is some Republican, again, like people are going, you know, it's like Biden is saying, we're going to burn the witches. And DeSantis is saying, no, we're just going to cut their hands off.
Yeah.
And people are going, yes, great. That's great. The guy's a hero. When none of these people are on our side, anyone who's telling you there's a deadly virus, anyone, and DeSantis is doing this, who's encouraging you to get this shot is not your friend, right? Like, he may not be trying to force you to get the shot. And again, so he's saying, okay, we'll just cut some people's hands off, right? Nobody in charge is willing to say the obvious truth that everything that's happening is totally unjustified.
Well, that has the emperor has no clothes.
It doesn't matter if
you're the kid in the parade.
Well, no, you're right. I mean, that's what even Ted Cruz was saying while he was pushing for the law to ban mandates. He said, look, I'm not opposed to vaccines. I got the vaccine. And I wanted to shout at him and say, it's not a vaccine. Yeah. It's not a vaccine. You didn't.
Oh, by the way, people should know in my article, too. Moderna said in 2020 in June, in their SEC statement, the FDA considers this a gene therapy. So all the people telling you, like the fact checkers, oh, it's not a gene therapy, tell them to go after themselves. Moderna, I have a link in the article, Moderna in the 2020 SEC filing from June, like almost less than a year ago, a little over a year ago, said in black and white, the FDA considers this a gene therapy. It doesn't meet the CDC's official definition of vaccine. Moderna said it's, according to the FDA, it's a gene therapy. It's a gene therapy and not a vaccine. So that's the thing, too. And, like, people, I mean, it's hard. I hate to even, like, disturb people's dream world. But Trump is pushing this stuff. This is, he claims he saved hundreds of millions of lives. Now, the lies just from him about this. First, it was millions. Now, nobody saved any. He killed people. And I'm sorry, but he did. He was the biggest force behind lockdowns. If he had not come out inexplicably come out in flavor of them, the Republican voters wouldn't have put up with this stuff. He neutered all the opposition. He neutered the opposition to the vaccines, right? So, and I'm not saying anybody else is better, really. This is our deep problem here. There's a fundamental lie. The fundamental lie is the deadly virus. I don't want to argue whether masks are effective or harmful. There's no deadly virus. Go F yourself. I'm not wearing a mask. I don't want to argue whether vaccines work or whether it's a vaccine. There's no deadly virus. I'm not getting this. Go F yourself. I'm not going to argue whether lockdowns work or not. None of this stuff works. It's all deadly. But we shouldn't even be arguing about it. There's no deadly virus. No politician on the GOP side is either independent and not bought enough or courageous enough to just get up and say that fact. Right. And that's the thing. Once you admit that fact, you lose. Once you admit that falsehood that there's a deadly virus, you're done. There's nothing right.
You can argue today
and stop them today, but tomorrow they're going to get the next thing. It needs to be, there's no deadly virus. These people lied about it. We're never going to trust them again, and we're going to put them in jail and execute some of them.
You know, and I think
like we're going to keep trusting these people who lie.
I think when I look around, I think that without people getting political or whatever about it, I think there are a ton of people out there, and I wouldn't argue anymore, the majority of people are wandering around out there not wearing their mask, not worried about the Delta variant, and that includes Barack Obama and
yeah, Chris that Obama, that right? irritates me to no end. So people go, oh, rules for thee and not for me. Hypocrisy. No, they're not hypocrites. They know it's a hoax.
Right. Exactly. But I think more and more regular people call them a hypocrite and ignore the murders of grandparents.
They're not hypocrites. They don't believe this shit. They know it. Excuse my language. They know this is a hoax. That's why they don't wear the mask. If they didn't know it was a hoax, they would do. Do you really think Fauci got the same shot you're going to get?
Yeah.
You really believe that? Sorry for you if you believe that. He's
done no, I know.
Well, saw pictures of him at the baseball game not wearing a stupid mask. But like you think they gave Trump the shot? I don't think so. Y'all, I think Mike Pence they might have given the shot. Everybody else really is getting the same stuff you're getting. And maybe you say, how do you know that? Okay, I don't know. But there's no more reason to believe they're getting it than they are getting it. It's all fake. The whole thing is manufactured. And again, I emphasize, so you get sucked into it. You're like, oh, I'm going to throw hypocrites. No, don't say that. It's a hoax. They know you're a hoax. Hypocrisy is like so minor in this context, it's not even funny. And we got to start saying it's a hoax and not being afraid and forcing the politicians at least, because they're either all compromised or lily-livered cowards, and we saw
that. A bit of both.
Well, listen, Michael.
We need to force them to say, like, this is the thing. This woman had this great thing on Twitter. She said, I talked to these teenagers who were vehemently pro-mask, and I presented them with numbers, and they were uninterested. No, but when I started presenting them with morality, like, should you trust authority? That's when they actually responsive. You're not going to convince anybody any more facts. Don't argue with these people about facts. The only reason they believe what they believe is because they've been bullied into believing that good people. You got to bully them back.
Bully them back. That's our motto here. Bully them back.
We're running out of time, Michael.
People, and they call us murderers. We aren't. We're trying to stop them, and we put up with being called murderers. And like, I can't even take anymore on Twitter people presenting. Look,
Bully him back. Michael, listen, we gotta let you go here real quick. Okay. I know you're working on other stuff. Clearerpicture.net, the best place to find all your stuff.
Yeah, it'll take you to the link to Substack. Yeah, that's
all right.
Thank you, guys. Sorry about the video.
Great. We have to get a longer show just for Michael Tao. Hey, and I want to actually, he's great as always. He's right. It's not, you know, bully him back. Leo had asked, can you be a patron of ours on Rumble? You can, although we don't have that set up because I think Rumble actually doesn't ever let that go through. But if you want to be a patron of ours, and we would love to have you all be a patron of ours, what you can do, the BBS has set that up, and you can get the link to where you need to go. Just go to chuckandjulie.com, and when you go to the homepage, there's a little link there that you can go to.
Greatly appreciate those who've signed up and those who are thinking about it.
Yeah, we truly appreciate it. It helps us, you know, it's a unique business model where, you know, we pay for this, and we will never charge for any of our content, but all of the patrons, we truly appreciate you and anything you can do but just go to chuckandjulie.com and that'll send you to the BBS site with the link. That'll do it for us on this Party Friday. We got Robert Spencer coming up to talk if Afghanistan is still around by Monday.
Well, Afghanistan will be around, but yeah. The U.S. presence may well be gone.
That's right. So that'll do it for us. Thank you to Michael. Thank you to everybody on Zoom and everybody listening. The great guys at BBS. We will see you on Monday.
Have a great summer weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.